It's all in the presentation.
That's what I'm all about. The welcome back, whoever is back. It looks like we're still missing some people. I'm sorry that there was some confusion. Was it really?
I thought you were going to punch yours at two.
The hashkafa. So that I have neglected, just because of the schedule and the way it's been so far. You know, we don't want to fall too behind in the Ikar Limud. But I hope to begin, I guess, hashkafa part next week. But since this week is a little truncated still, so yeah. So I thought we'd have shir today. And also we had some leftovers. I was running the last time. The last shir that we had, I was trying to get through a lot of things very quickly. So I, you know, skipped a little bit and I skimped, you know, a little bit. So since these are very, very important, I think very important issues. And it's not just, you know, a question of having a bigger list or a smaller list. But I think that the, you know, as usual, the items on the list, you know, add color and nuance, you know, to understanding, you know, these concepts. So I thought it would be important to finish up that hanging topic, which we'll get to in just a second. And then also connected to it, I just wanted to, again, go quickly through the discussion of the Rishonim on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara and the Rishonim on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. It's part of it. So if anybody who hasn't, that guys have been doing that? Yeah? And then we're going to start straight from the beginning. You know, to fill in the pieces that we've already done, you know, parts of the Perek, but, and certainly hit a lot of the, some of the big questions, but then we have to follow through with the details now, going straight. But before we go straight, I want to finish with today, and I want to talk about Chaf Hei. So for Chaf Hei Amud Beis, just, you know, the Shaklan Atari there, Rav and Abaya, Rav and Shmuel, you know, the Gemara and Chaf Hei Amud Beis, about the relationship between Shuas Eidus and Shuas Bitui. Again, hopefully we'll start it already. We're starting a little late today, but a little bit today, if not tomorrow. And the Rishonim there, all Atar, especially, you know, the Rashi. The bottom Tosis is interesting in light of things that we've done. So Rashi, Tosis, the Rimigash, the impact of the Rimigash is felt on the Rambam there again. The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalit, which we're going to speak more about than the Kesa Mishnah. Also the Rambam in trying to see what you can pick up in terms of Shuas HaPikado, and we'll talk about it soon. Again, we're trying to do a lot of things at the same time. Mipiacher, Mipiatzmo, Shuas HaPikado, Shuas Eidus, Bitui, Shav, it's all connected. So the Rambam in, you know, where's it, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches, the Rambam in Perek Dal, Tes, Halacha Yedalid, the Rambam in Perek Zayin, which we'll talk about already today. Yeah, I think it's Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. Yeah, Perek Zayin Halacha Ches, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. I'm not sure if I gave you these originally, but that's looking around the Rambam, the Nosa Kalin. What happens, you know, this is the question, in cases where there's no technical chiyuv Shuas HaPikadon or Shuas HaEidos, will there be a Shuas Bitui? Why aren't there double chiyuvim, either in Malkus or in terms of chatos, right? What is this idea of mutual exclusivity between Shuas Eidus and Shuas Bitui? What are the implications of it? And does it apply, the question that I'm asking, does it apply equally to Shuas HaPikado? Right. So again, it's the Gemara and the Shaklan Atariah is a little hard, but it's an important Shaklan Atariah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, the Rashi, the Rimigash, Tosas. Then in the back, very quickly, the Balamor, the Ramban, weigh in on this, the Ran, the Rif, and the Rambam, Tes Yudalid. Just to finish up, you know, some of these questions. And then, maybe tomorrow already, I'll give you some things to look at. The Psula Eidus, the Gemara starts with the question of Psula Eidus Lanashim. We're not going to spend so much time on it, but just very quickly, the Tosas Al-Atar, Tosas Bava Kama, the parallel one with Peches, the Ritva here, the Rambam has like his own Limudim, Kedarko, the relationship to Eved Knani. So we'll start with that, and then we'll you know, we'll move forward. We have to talk about Melech and Kohen Gadol and you know, some of the other cases going forward, and fill in some of the Shaklan Atariah until we get back to The bigger questions, again, we'll be revisiting some of the things that we've been doing as we go through these two prakim. But before we do that, so let me just fill in what I skipped and skimped, as I said, and I'm not going to call it this, I'll start calling it tomorrow. Let's fill in what we missed out and then just talk a little more. It's all connected to Sigyon Rabbeinu and Beis. Okay, so just to remind everybody where we were. And then hopefully next week we'll start with the Monday, the regular Monday, and the regular schedule. And again, if there's some, you know, particular topic, or we can do Parsha still, or, you know, Avos, or...
Some kind of survey.
What?
We have some options.
Okay. So you let me know, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, but we're starting to get, obviously, to the to the routine schedule, which is mostly good. And here or there, you know, we might have to adjust that, but okay. So, just to remind, okay, so I'll read the list also, hopefully, tomorrow. I know I've been scheduled to, I've been threatening to do that, but I keep having to push it off. But that's a schedule going forward. Again, we still have to complete the meetings that we began with the new people. So hopefully we'll try to get back to that starting tomorrow also, and so on. Also, just for information, I'm going to be here for this Shabbos. I'm scheduled to be here, so thank you so much. Anybody who's able to stay... You know, that'll be great to have you. But that's this Shabbos. Okay. So we've been discussing, we began the year talking about the Chiyuv Haggadah, its nature, its scope, its connection to Shavuos Ha'Edus. That was our first big topic. And then from there we went to this big, other big topic, more particular, the relationship between the Chiddush of Mipi Acherim, we could call it, as a Hafla, and the relationship between Piacherim and Piatzmo, and by extension, the question of how the various interrelated Shavuos connect to each other. Namely, let's say in the hierarchy, we'll call it Shavuos Shav, Shavuos Bitui. The question is, what should you put next? So I'll go with the Rambam structure, which is Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdus. And the big unifying question being, both about the Piacherim and the Pi Atzmo and the different Shavuos, how much of all of this is a Din and Hafla and Shavuos Sheker, particular Shavuos Shekers, maybe extended Shavuos Shekers, and so on. I'll explain just a second. Or are we dealing with, you know, some sort of a hybrid or even a Mechayiv, which is Be'ikar, preeminently or predominantly, you know, something from the world of Chosh HaMishpat, predominantly Shavuos HaBikon and Shavuos HaEdus. And in that question, can we even mechalik between the Piatzim and Piacherim? Are they the same where they both work? And Gufa, in that question and in other questions, whether or not it makes sense to be mechalik between the two most proximate cases, Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaBikon. Both are cases in which there is clearly a hybrid of Chosh HaMishpat. In one case, Hilchos HaEdus, the other case, Hilchos Gezel, and Hilchos Shavuos. And again, you have some of these dinim in the Rambam, just to highlight it, right? Some of them are in the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, most of them. And some of them are in Hilchos Gzeila, and some of them are in Hilchos Eidus. So this is the question. And then I also mentioned that Reb Chaim, at least Mipi HaShmua, from the Rav anyway, was inclined to think that Shavuos HaPikadon is more Gezel-oriented, and Shavuos Eidus maybe is more Hefsen. It's more Shavuot oriented, and I thought that the Rajba certainly, and I'll document this later, and I thought the Rambam also, if anything, goes the opposite way, and I think that that's also part of the Rambam scheme, the reason that he's, you know, switched the order, and we've already seen, based on Diukim, that we already had the opportunity to, you know, to elaborate the way he talks about Mipi Acherim and Shavuos HaPikadon and other... other examples, which we're going to reinforce today. So this is the big issue that we're discussing. Mipi Acherim, Mipi Atzmo, Shavuos HaBikadon, Shavuos HaEdus. How does it all connect to Bitui, etc.? And the sugya, of course, on Chafei Amadeus is just a piece of that, because that sugya really discusses, you know, why don't you have always, you know, an overlap? That's why don't you always say that the Chalal, Shavuos HaEdus, is also Shavuos Bitui, So that you should bring, and one day in the Gemara, in the Shaka Matari, the Gemara said, Inokanavi, right? That you should bring two, if you're in violation of the Shogeg, that you should bring two Korbanos, right? And if you're in violation of the Mezid, because Shuasa Bikonon and Shuasa Edis can also be the Mezid, so then maybe Inokanavi, maybe you get Balkis, right, for that as well. The Gemara seems to conclude that we don't say that, but the question is, why don't we say it, and what are the implications of not saying it, and do we ever say it? So, for example, what will happen, you know, in circumstances where lemaisa, right, there is no chiyuv shvuas enos or chiyuv shvuas hapikadon, and do we care, you know, what those circumstances are, or do we only care that there are such circumstances? In other words, is the din that, you know, we don't, charge you twice, you know, is that a din in the chiyuv and ptur of shuas enos and maybe also shuas hapikadon, or is it a din in the, you know, in the mechayvim? In which case, there's another question to ask. We'll get back to this, and that is whether or not different pturim, right, maybe are treated differently. Which is a double question, right? Number one, the question of why there's mutual exclusivity when it comes to bitui and eidos. Now, we have to weigh that in bikadon. And B, to measure, or to try to measure or gauge, right, the nature of different psulin, right? It could be that there are, you know, 10 or 5, I'm just making up the number, or 7 factors, you know, which will make you putter for shuas eidos or shuas bikadon, right? And some of them maybe are a hafka of the mechayiv completely and the structure of it, right? In which case, it's not just potter, it's just eviscerated. There's no shuas eidos in that case, as is reflected by the pator. There might be other cases where technically there's no shuas eidos, right? But maybe that's, you know, more, as I say, more of an extraneous point, in which case you wonder whether or not this mutual exclusivity with Bitui isn't still intact. Things like, maybe, you know, let's say it didn't take place in Beis Din in exactly the right way. Let's say we're talking about, you know, Avadim Shtaros Karkaos, you know, if that could have an impact in this case, etc. So we'll analyze all of this. Okay, so what we need to do right now is go back just to fill in some cases and some details of some cases that we did regarding this whole big mishmash of mipiacher mipiatzmo, pikadon edus, bitui, etc. So just to make clear one thing, and that is, again, distinctive way, what we want to say is that mipi acherim is not a typical haflah, and that it's a kind of hashba'a, but not a nishba, right? As opposed to, let's say, the opposite way, which is to say that the circumstances created by mipi acherim result in a classical nishba. Maybe that's mechudash, right? But that's true. In other words, that being mashbia, mipi acherim, is a heketimtzi, right, for extending, you know, the hagdara of hafla and nishba. Those are two extremes. In one case, I'm saying there is no real nishba, there's a hashba'a, and then you have to figure out why that even works. Now, in between those two things are the possibility of saying two other things. One is that there's a category of hashba'a, which you know, isn't exactly nishba, but still is a mechayev, in certain cases. The other is that, you know, the whole notion of hashba'a, you know, either mimanashach, either there's a nishba, there's no nishba, and what we mean by hashba'a is not that they're your chayev for the, you know, for the responding or to the hashba'a's mechayev you. What we really mean is that there's some sort of matzari. In other words, that the it's not true that there's simply a gilui that, you know, the circumstances of hashba create a nishba. That's too, you know, integrating. But it is true that under certain conditions, right, being bashbia b'pi acherim, the hajba will, under the right circumstances, create a nishba. But it's just a two-step process, in which case we're going to be left wondering, in both of these middle cases, right, whether or not, even if there isn't a different mechayiv, there still may end up being nafkamina, to make it clear. If you take either of the extremes, in other words, either the view that there is no hafla or nijba in a typical sense, there's a hajba and some other machayev, let's say kvishas edus, hefsin mamon, gezel, al yedei hashba or shem hashem or whatever it is, right? So then there are going to be many nafkamina, presumably, right? I would say there isn't some, it's still in Hilchos Shavuos and the Rambam and Masechet Shavuos, and there's still going to be some overlap with Dinei Shavuos, but the point is that the expectation is going to be the default, right? This is really mostly a different kind of halacha and a different kind of b'chai. In the other extreme, if what we're saying is, you know, mipi acherim can create a nishba, then, you know, there's going to be very few nafkamina, maybe no nafkamina, because, you know, that's simply an extended, you know, hagdara of nishba. But if we say that there's something called hajba, or that the ability of hajba to turn into nijba is a result also of the choshen mishpat, of the presence of the choshen mishpat, mechayiv, amitzarev, and so on, so then you're going to expect something in between. Not just because structurally it's in between, because there are going to be questions. You know, what is, which dinim are a consequence of the mechanism? And which dinim are consequence of the end chalos, which is a nijba. Clear? So that's just because there is so much to talk about in terms of differences between the piatzo and piacherim, it's important just to understand better what these formulations might look like and what we should expect in the way of nafkamina. Now, Gufa, again, if we distinguish between different Shavuos, if we say, well, there's been Piacherim, in Pikadon, there's been Piacherim, in Eidos. In Eidos, it's more a Hashba'a or a Mechayev of Kvishase. So in Pikadon, it's more of a way of creating a Nishba, you know, then they're going to be nafkamina between them too, right? Or what another way to say that would be, then the Piacherim of Pikadon is going to be, you know, more proximate to its mipi atzmo than the mipi acherim of Eidos is going to be to its mipi atzmo. Right? We may even go further, and this is what we've been discussing, because we don't care just about mipi acherim and mipi atzmo. We do, but we care about that. But we also care about the question of whether mipi atzmo impacts mipi acherim or the mipi acherim impacts mipi atzmo. In other words, the idea that a very acute mipi atzmo in Shavuos Eidos implies that even its mipi atzmo, I'm sorry, even acute mipi, did I say it right? The acute mipi acherim in Eidos implies that even its mipi atzmo is not a conventional mechayev of hafla, even though there is an active hafla. And vice versa, right? If the maybe the mipi acherim of the mipiatzmo of Pikadon, you know, if it's really so much a regular bit, maybe that establishes that even its mipiacherim is just a hechatipsi, which is kind of what the Rambam says in the beginning of his discussion for us of Pikadon, right? That mipiacherim in Pikadon is like amen, right? He doesn't say that by Eidos, as we know. Okay. So having said all of that, the point is that if mipiacherim is going to be different, it could be different in extreme way. It could be different in a more moderate way, based on these four ways of looking at it. Okay, so just to go over a couple of things that we may have given short shrift to, or skipped, but very quickly. Do we mention Lixos? Yeah, okay, good. So I can leave that out. So in Vav Gimel, Lixos has this distinction that the Picherim requires Tvia avuro, right, as opposed to simply Eidos itself. So there's a difference between the Tvia, in other words, of Mipiacherim Piatzmo. Again, is that a Mitzaref halacha? That's a Nafkamina. Is that a Mitzaref Nafkamina or a Mechayev Nafkamina? That I'm not sure about. Now, this, are we saying that mipiacherim, the mechayiv is what he owes him, right, or hefsed mamon, and therefore he has to be asking for himself? Or are we saying that that's the ability to impose the status or to expand the concept of the category of nishba? That I'm not sure, but that's an important nafkamina. Would you say that same nafkamina? I'm not sure if there's a hechatimtzi for it in Shavuos HaPikadon, but something like it, if you could find a parallel to it. Interesting question. Violating lo sishma b'shmila shaker, I know we did discuss this, but I want to just make it very a little bit clearer. Right? Do you violate lo sishma b'shmila shaker? A, on mipi acherim, B, in Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon b'chlal. Right, so that is a clear machlokas of Rishonim. There are two ways to look at that problem. Right. One way is that it is a fundamental, really a fundamental question, the core question that we're dealing with. The Torah says, "Osishbu b'shmila shaker." That is, you know, the basis for the prohibition, the azhara of shuas bitui. So whether that's going to apply or not apply, right, to Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon, obviously that's going to be very, that's going to be very telling. That's going to be very, very consequential. There's one way, right, to downplay that. And that is, if we think that, you know, a little bit based on the Gemara and Chaf Hei Amud Beis, or a way of looking at the Gemara and Chaf Hei Amud Beis, namely that the mutual exclusivity, right, is applied, either as a Gzeres HaKasuv, or maybe even more so, right, as a kind of specialty Iser that already subsumes, right, this... you know, under its more particular rubric, right? And again, this goes to how you read that Gemara, the Chaf Hei Amud Beis, right? The point is that if there's no lo sishmu b'shmila shaker in Shavuos HaEdus, Shavuos HaPikadon, one or both, right? It could be because that's simply not the mechayev. Although, again, you still might want to ask, why isn't there also that element, especially in the case of the piazza? But what I'm suggesting is that there may be another answer to all of this, and that is, not because it's not the Mechayiv, but because it's already taken care of by the psukim, that more specifically, right, govern, you know, these particular Shavuos. Now, it's easier to say that about Shavuos HaPikadon than it is to say it about Shavuos HaEdus. And the reason that is so is because of, you know, the Torah Shebitzav, as interpreted by the Torah Shebal Peh, but pretty clear in the Torah Shebitzav itself. Now, in Shavuos HaPikadon, we do have a pasuk, right? Lo tishaker ish bamiso. So, what is the relationship between that pasuk and lo sishbu b'shmi l'shaker? They both have the, you know, reference to Sheker. All right. I mean, there's also a very big difference in emphasis, right? One is lo sishakru ish lamiso. Sounds like it's a ben adam l'chavero. The mechayiv is klapei chavero, right? Whereas the other one is about lo sishbu b'shmi l'shaker, right? It's about the misuse of the abuse, the zilzul maybe, or the mechayiv of shvua sheker in terms of Shem Hashem. So, again, the overlap, you know, brings them closer and also highlights, you know, more dramatically the difference. So, but in Shavuos HaEdus we have nothing, right? We don't have anything like that. Again, in Shavuos HaPikadon you have lo sechachashu ish bamiso and lo sechakru, you know, lo sechachashu and lo sechakru. In Shavuos HaEdus you don't have any azara, pretty much. So, what are the facts when it comes to that issue? So at the end of the day, as we've discussed them, there's the following positions. One is, number one, the discussion of the Minchas Chinuch and Reish Chavav, and the Mishnah Melech that he quotes also to be mechalik between mi piakeirim and mi piatzmo. In other words, that mi piatzmo maybe you'll violate los shishbu b'shmi la shaker, but you will not violate that mi piakeir. Okay. Again, this is also an issue that the Tumim and Aaron Kivager discuss. Rabbi Kivager and his parish on the Mishnah, right, is a person who violates Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Pikadon, is he Pasul Eidus Midin, violating Lo Sishbu Bishmi La Shaker? And is there a difference between Mipiatzmo and Mipiachem? So again, for the Minchas Nishol view of the Minchas Chinuch, Reish Kapav, and the Mishnah Melech, is that Mipiatzmo, there is a hafla, and therefore there is Lo Sishbu Bishmi La Shaker, but not Mipiachem. But, you know, you could argue, right, in both directions. You could argue that even in Piatzmo, there is not. That even in the Piacherim, there is. And you could also argue that there should be a chiluk between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pikadon, either within the Piacherim or even with the Piatzmo. And you could also argue that that goes in both directions. I think I did document these things, but I just want to make clear. We do find pretty much the full range of those positions. And when you analyze them, I'll just tell you who says what in a second, it really is very, it's a little complicated, but it's mostly pretty clear. In other words, default, we would think that the absence of Lo Sishbu B'Shmi La Shaker de-emphasizes the Hafla and the Shvua part in favor of the other Mechayiv. In favor of the idea of Hashva'a or Mechayiv of and so on. Unless, right, we come to the conclusion with regard to Shavuos HaPikadon, you know, that that de-emphasis is not really a rejection, but it's a more specialized application, right, to this particular case. Again, if we overlook the difference in emphasis between, you know, Amiso and, you know, Shem Hashem, and emphasize the Sheker part of it. Okay, so just to conclude, the Minchas Chinuch and Mishnah Melech initially seemed to want to draw a clear distinction between Piatzmo and Piacherim across the board, for Piatzmo, for Shavuos HaPikadon and for Shavuos Eidos. They both seem to... Okay, that's number one. But the truth is the evidence doesn't bear that out necessarily. In terms of the Rishonim, the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos and the Chinuch quote Lo Sishbu B'Shmi La Shaker also with regard to Shavuos HaPikadon, not just with regard to Bitui, as the Rambam and the Chinuch seem to, Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Chinuch seem to say, Yivaylan Sochachashu Lo Tashakru Ish Vamiso and Lo Sishbu B'Shmi La Shaker in Shavuos HaPikadon. The Rambam and Yad HaChazaka, right, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shavuos, only mentions Lo Techachashu and Lo Techakaru Ish Bamiso. He there omits Lo Sishbu Bishmi La Shaker. The Minchas Chinuch and others make note of it. Minchas Chinuch has a very fascinating suggestion that maybe what the Rambam means in Yad HaChazaka is not to disagree with Sefer Mitzvos, but to kind of reflect on a process and a relationship. Namely, that what the Rambam has in mind is that you will violate, the Rambam didn't change his mind between Sefer Mitzvos and Yad HaChazaka. He always felt that there was Lo Sishakru B'Shmi La Shaker. But the reason he presents differently in Yad HaChazaka is in order to, again, I'm elaborating a little bit, but this is what it comes out to, if they're right, is in order really to establish that the only reason there is Lo Sishbu B'Shmi La Shaker is because first there's Lo Sechachashu and Lo Tishakru Ish Bamisa. In other words, that the expansion to the violation of Shavuos Bitui Shavuos Sheker, right, is a consequence of an earlier stage that couldn't be, say, for a mitzvos, if there wasn't first, right, independently, Yad HaChazaka. Now that's a very fascinating idea that the Minchas Chinuch puts forward. It is a kind of, that phenomenon is something we encounter many, many times. it's a kind of, for better, for I wouldn't say lack of a better way of saying it, maybe it's a good way to say it. It's a kind of an achshave idea, meaning because this is asur and it violates X and Y, it then also achieves the status of, you know, Z. It's a kind of an achshave. There can be different reasons for achshaves. It isn't necessarily chashivas per se. Maybe the point is, again, the idea of tziruv. In other words, because you don't have the right, and there are isurim that tell you that you cannot avoid him and you cannot lie to him, and if you use Shem Hashem to lie to him, that is gezel, right? That also turns, right, or creates a chalos shvuas sheker b'shem Hashem as well. So it's a sheker that results from the stature of shvuas hapikadon. That's a very interesting idea. In a way, it's what we've been saying about the ability of mipi acherim, let's say, to turn a hashba'a into a nishba. Right? We said, oh, maybe because, you know, he is obligated to respond to him, right? Especially in dina mamonos, when there's a tviya and so on. So the choshen mishpat is the bridge. It's what links or mitzaref the shvua to him. He's a nishba only because of the choshen mishpat that extends and creates like an extended hilchos shvuos sefer afla. Right? So this is, I mean, you could say one without saying the other. I'm just telling you it's kind of that phenomenon. It's the idea of an, kind of an achshave. But just to make perfectly clear, okay, so either there's a machlokas, you know, the Rambam changed his mind, right? Or you could take this idea. Both of them kind of highlight that, you know, that Yad HaChazaka, even if you take this shot in Yad HaChazaka, there's no machlokas, it has the same effect, again, intellectually, conceptually, in that it establishes that, you know, objectively, Shuas HaPikadon, the circumstance of Shuas HaPikadon wouldn't be sufficient to create Shuas Bitui of Sheker, right? It's only in that second stage that happens. Whereas, actually, ironically, if you take the view that the Rambam changed his mind, right, then what you have is Sefer Mitzvos, which says, well, I mean, these are two different dinim, and there's no reason that you can't overlap one over the other. Maybe we don't overlap karbonos, and maybe we don't have overlap, you know, malkios, or maybe we do. And Shuas HaPikadon, come to that in a minute. But certainly in Azharos and Isurim, we could. And Yad HaChazaka says, what are you talking about? Not only is it no overlap, there's not even an achshave, and there's not even a second stage. Okay, having said all that, what's interesting and what's kind of mostly ignored by the Minchas Chinuch is that when it comes to Shuas HaEdus, right, we don't have, there's no Sefer Mitzvahs, you know, there's nothing to talk about, right? In Shuas HaEdus, when the Rambam Perek, the first one is the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shavuos Halacha Ches. Right, Shuas HaPikadon Ketza, Competition of Kavero, Ben Milva, Ben Gazel, Roshko, so on. Hariza Ofer Belosa, Seishnem, Lot Chachshu, Zoaz Arlik Vizros Mamon, Ein Lokan Alav Zed, Ein Nishma Alav Sheker, Al Mamon Shekaf, Hariza Ofer Belava Acher, Zemer Lot Shakri Shba Biso, Zoaz Arlik Nishma Alav Vizros Mamon, Shuas HaHinik Reis, Shuas HaPikadon, and Sefer Mitzvos, he has the third, and the Kino. But when it comes to Shuas Eidus Ketzad, Ha'edim Shadu Eidus Mamon Metavam, Baladin lahayid lo the kafra beedus of lahayid nishba ashen yodim lo arisen nikreis shvus edus the chayavim korban ola biorei bein mazidim bein shogim shenemar and so, but there's no azara at all. So A, there's no azara. B, there's no say for a mit yada chazaka and again it's the psukim, right? It's even easier to read lo tishakru, you know, Ish and Lotidru through the Shakar, which are together there in Kedoshim, as one. There's no Shuas Aidas there in Kedoshim. Right? So the Torah of Chsav already presents, you know, the relationship. Not only does it have the extra two and no Azhara for Shuas Aidas, seemingly, unless you say Lo Samon Al Dam Reacha, but you know, we don't want to get into that now. But as I say, it's, you know, the connection to the Lotidru Shilas Shakar also works much better in Parshas Kedoshim, in Torah Shabbat Tzav. Yeah. So, is that a coincidence with the fact that Shavuos Eidos, according to the, I think, more robust evidence, is less Shavuos Bitui oriented even than Shavuos HaPikadon? So I will say that I think not. Okay. Having said that, the Smag, which I think I mentioned the other day, only mentions Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker by Shavuos Eidos and not by Shavuos HaPikadon. So is that because, you know, it's what I mentioned, you know, the Rav and the name from Chaim, that they think Dafka the other way, that Shavuos HaPikadon is more Gezel-oriented and Shavuos Eidos is more Shavu-oriented. So you at least have, in violation, the Iser of Lo Sishbu B'Shmi Lo Shaker. Or is it because of what I said, you know, a few minutes ago, which is that maybe Shavuos HaPikadon, it's you might make the argument that it has its own specialized Iser Sheker. You know, it has its own Azara, it has its own Sheker, and therefore, you know, it already, it's superfluous, you know, or the whatever the differences are become magnified, you know, because of the greater proximity, right? Differences can be magnified either because of greater distance or because of greater proximity, right? One or the other. In this case, maybe because of greater proximity. So it's either superfluous or more mutually exclusive in a certain sense, because you're fighting over a smaller, you know, turf, if you're talking about Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Bitui. Masha Einkein, Shavuos Eidos, you know, in Ochanami, there's no second Korban, and maybe there's no, you know, the Malkus Benezin, right? And, but at the end of the day, why shouldn't there at least be a violation of Sheker? In addition, you know, if that's the way, at least in the case of Mipiatzma, never mind Mipiatev. So I'm just saying, if you look at the total evidence, the Smag, the Yad Chazaka, the Sefer Mitzvos, the perspectives in Minchas Chinuch, the Mishnah LeMelech, we pretty much have everything that we would want. We pretty much have everything that we would want in terms of the range of Shitos themselves. Okay. And again, yeah. I should mention that the when the Chinuch changed his mind, when the Minchas Chinuch changed his mind and decided that there is going to be an Isra of Shavuos Sheker, even for the Rambam and Yad HaChazaka, and so on, and that's the Pshat in Sefer Mitzvos and Sefer Chinuch, he assumed that this would be true even for Mipi Acherim. I mean, against the Mishnah Melech. And there I think, again, that there's room to be Mechalek, and possibly room to be Mechalek between the Mipi Acherims of Pikadon and Eidos as well. Okay. Yeah. Another point is the Sefer HaChinuch's perspective, which I think we touched on last time, that there is a Chiyuv Malkus in Shavuos HaPikadon. Lo Teshakru Ishba Miso is Mechayiv Malkus. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that seems to be against Pashtus of the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Shavuos HaPikadon, which we'll get to, and of the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. I'm here in Zion Ches. Second. Hanishba Shavuos HaPikadon B'Mezid Alpha Bisha Nishba L'Sheker V'Hisru Bo Eidim B'Shas Shavuos So Ein Aloka Elamevi Ashamo Bilvad Sharei HaKosav Otsiyu Mechlal Chai B'Malkis V'Chivo Asham B'Ein B'Zadon B'Ein B'Shgaga Kamo Shabyar. That's the Chaf Hamer Deis equivalent of Shavuos HaPikadon, in a way. We'll get back to it. But it's clear for the Rambam, seemingly, that there's no Malkus. But the Chinuch says that there is Malkus. So it's against the Rambam, and it's against the Gemara. So the Minchas Chinuch, in Reish Chapav, suggests to be Mechalik between the Piatzmo, where there is Malkus, and the Piakeir. Right, so that's another example. The Raya is interesting. From Karka and Shtaros, Karka and Shtaros, you would have a chi of Malkus, right? So maybe Huadin. So once again, the chilek between Piyach and Piyacherin. This works much better if there are two different, obviously, Mechaivim. He asks against the Rambam, because it's pretty clear from the Rambam that even mi piatzmo, right, there is no malchus in the case of Shuasa Pikando, the mezid. So he asks the question, lama gara, why is it worse than a regular case of Shuas Bitu? Yeah. But again, if we take the view that it is either subsumed, right, or we'll call it eclipsed, you know, almost in a, you know, kum le bedrava mine type way, where you have, you know, something that's too different. Again, something that's too close or something that's too different. Either one can result in an eclipsing. So then we might explain that Shuasa Bikadon doesn't get Malchus under any circumstances. Okay. Now, in terms of Pturim of Shuasa Bikadon, there you have to weigh what I said before, which is, are these just technical Pturim, but the ingredients, the components that make it a shame Shuasa Bikadon are still there, and shame Shuasa Bikadon is what is Mesalek, the Chi of Malchus, or the extra carbon, etc. Or there's no shame Shuasa Bikadon either, in which case it turns into pure bitui. There's no reason, you know, not Xeris Akasuv, and not eclipsing, and not, you know, proximate eclipsing, not distant eclipsing. None of that exists to be an issue or a problem. Okay. So in that piece, he also asks, you know, the question which we know of, which is, and Bishogeg, why don't you bring two karbanos? That's the Kachem Beisug, yeah. But he does point out that, seems to the Rambam, in Tes Yudalid, that that there's nothing. Yeah. But Gufa in the Rambam, this is one of the things I want to look at, you know, is there less, Tes Yudalid is very definitive. The Rambam says, Komokom shomaru pater b'shuas ha'edus, avachai b'shuas bitui, v'hu shenishba ono amein, imejbiyo achar shari nishba al sheker, אבל המחויב שבועס עדס אף הפי שהוא נשבע על שקר, אף הפי שהוא מזד אינו חי בשם שבועס ביטוי, אלא בשם שבועס עדס בלבד. שהרי הכוסף הוציא שבועס עדס בכלל שבועס ביטוי, this is his version of חפי עמד בייס, לחי ומזד כשוגי בקורבן ולא במלכס. שאני אמר לך עשמי, the details discussed by the Lech HaMishnah, very challenging Rama. ומין אחות ממיני שבועס אתם לחייב, ויהיה אתם לחייב עוד שני מיד. Sounds like קום לברב המיני. That's a much stronger statement than the Rambam statement in Perek Zayin Halacha Kes. Anishba shuasa pikanu b'mezid, af bishanishba l'sheker v'hisru bo eno loke, ele maybe ashamu b'vach. Right? Kasevotziyah mechlal, v'chibo, etc. So we'll examine that more fully, right? You know, what about some of the hechatimtzis? You know, that we just talked about, would there be a difference? Now, for the Rambam Zayin Gimel, that's one reason why don't you look at it. Im tavo b'karko eved oshtar v'kafar v'nishba, pater mishvus avikana b'chai b'shvus bitu yishari nishba al sheker. Right? Would that equally be true for shvus ha'edus? And especially for shvus ha'edus v'pi acher. Right? That if you're pater, that you come under the rubric of bitu. So these are the issues and these are the things. Goyen Katan, very quickly. The Mechas Chinuch is Mestapek. This is in Kuf Chav Tes, Sif Katan Vav. About two things. Number one, can a Katan, a Goy, can they be Mashbia mit Piacherim b'shuas ha'pikad, the Talmud of b'shuas ha'pikad on there, given that they are not b'nei shvua li'atzma. Do we care, right, that the mashbia, right, should be a bar shvua or not? Right? So the truth is that, again, if the point of mipi acherim is just to create a hekatimtzi for being nishba, then it's likely that we don't care. If there's some status in the other direction of hashba'ah, which is part of the mechayim, the tziruf of the hashba'ah, you know, and the hefsed or whatever, or the gezel of the nishba, but the shvua part isn't the nishba so much as it is the hashba'ah, which is turned into sheker, right? Then the status of the mashbia as a bar shvua is going to be very crucial. What if the mashbia, right, isn't just a hechatimtzi, but he's also not the mechayev as a hashba'ah? Right, let's say, you know, he's the mitzaref, you know, who extends the havdara of nishba, right? So then it would be more of an open question. Or at least maybe then it would depend on the second suffix of the minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch is mistapek, even in mipiatzmo, and certainly in mipiacherim, where you need a toveya, right? Can a katan and can a cheresh or can a goy serve as a toveya? So, of course, in shvus edus, even more so, because then again in lo, there you really require a piyat toveya. Shvus bikatan, the Rambam, as we know, has a law shown in Perek Zayin, where he also talks about him or his shliach. It's not so clear that you really, you know, need mipia tovei or anything like it in Shua Sapikono. Again, it's one of the cases where the Rambam seems to be bridging the gap between Shua Sapikono and Shua Sapikonos. But the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch is, right, do you need befanav? Do you need a real toveya who's befanav? Right? In which case, a katan, a cheresh, is not considered befana. For example, in the din of ein mekablin edus shelo b'fnei baldin, right? We say that a katan, a cheresh, a shota, right? They're not considered befana. They're not legally befana. Their presence, right, isn't legally consequential. So, do you need that for the mipia toveya, even in piatzmo of shuas edus? So again, if the whole point of mipia cherim is simply the mitzaref and the mechayev, I would think that suffix number one should be dependent on suffix number two. By the way, what is the suffix? I just said that. Typically we say katan, cheres, shota are considered to be shalom b'fana. So the minchas chinuch suffix is whether or not that is only lechova, lechovaso, or even leto'alto. In other words, you know, he's not a consequential legal presence, and therefore the things that take place, you know, when he's there, right, are not legally binding, right? But let's say it's in his interest, right, that, you know, that we count his as present. And, it, you know, it's detrimental to him, you know, that we perceive him legally as absent. Do we still say that a cheroshot of a katan are considered shalom afana? Again, that is a question that has nothing to do with it. It's a very interesting question, and has zero to do with our limud right now. Okay. But the point is, what does have to do with us is two things. Number one, the question of what kind of toveya do you need for shuas edus and shuas hapikadon, and whether you can be mechalik gufa between them. And two, whether or not in mipia cherim you need, you know, a quality, all you need is a quality toveya, right? Or you need more than that, you need a mashbia. And here the irony is that, you know, it's mostly the shita that says you need a mashbia, right? That is going to be the most difficult one, right, to accommodate in cherishot of a katan. If you either think that hashba'ah is a hechatimtzi for nishba, or that you don't have hashba'ah and you don't have, you know, nishba either, you just have hefsed mamon or gezel, you know, b'shem Hashem, you actually might be more mekel in these conditions. He has another safek in Kuf Kabbav, and that is higia, again, I'm not And I'm assuming that since we had a break, and I don't know how people are, I think I gave you this because he was to look at, right? But I'm giving you a break today again, I guess. Higia la'onas nadarim is another suffix. But again, I want to just clarify that. Again, the more you think that everything depends on being a bar shvua, so you got the 2 o'clock text?
No, a little late.
Oh, even without it, you didn't even know about the controversy. Okay, so you don't get the tour on us. I'm this joke. Right. If you think that everything depends on whether the mashbia is also a bar shvua nishba, so then, you know, being a bar hafla, you know, higil onas anadarim, a mufla samach leish, is consequential, because you can take a shvua. Right? So one would think that, you know, even the most machmir is going to say that if you gil onas anadarim, everything's going to be fine. And indeed, that's what the Minchas Kinuch says. But, you know, being a bit of a contrarian, I guess, it doesn't seem so poshut to me. Because if the point is that the role of the mashbia is the mechayev and the mitzarev, right, then he might be a bar shvua, but that doesn't make him a mashbia. In other words, there can be, this is one for the, you know, for the trivial pursuit, halachic trivial pursuit, you know, group, you know, there can be a perspective in which being a mashbia is actually more chomor than being a nishba. Right? You wouldn't think that at first glance. But I don't think you have to be such a contrarian, you know, to acknowledge that that might be true. If the point is not that, not the hashba'ah per se, but the ability to extend and to be magdir something as nishba because of the right to impose upon him, then, you know, being a proper bar toveya, right, is going to end up being just like, you know, you might have to be mipi, you know, Tovea literally, or is Mursha, or whatever, so too, the, you know, the age of being a Mechayiv in Dine Mamanis, a Baldavar, you know, may be a factor as well. So I don't think it's such a Davar Pashut that if you're a Mufla Samach Leish, that that there's no further that there's no further issue. Okay. So then finally, just the last thing I think that we discussed last time, before we move on to, again, to the other question of bitui, is the question of mipiacherim the bitui. Right. So we've discussed extensively, you know, the relationship between mipiato and piacherim, and the possibility of even distinguishing that in either direction between shvuas habikadam and shvuas habikadam. It seems, you know, definitive that there just is no hechatimtzi that is acceptable of Shua's bitui in piacherim. That seems to be established clearly by the Sugyan Chavtes Amud Beis, right, when you read the Mishnah and the Gemara. Right, the Gemara ends up saying that, you know, v'hushana amen. Again, they call it mipiacherim, right? But at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to be unequivocal that while there is a mipiacherim in pikadon and in eidos, that there's no mipiacherim in eidos. Which is why, you know, the Rambam sheet, if somebody could read it, is really have it in Hilchos Shavuos Parakeh Halacha Gimel and Dalid. It's so fascinating, right? Because the Rambam there says that in a case of a kind of, you know, equivalent to Mudr Hanav, or, you know, when the guy says, you know, it's my property and you have no access, and I hereby take a shvua, right, to that effect, right? It sounds like, you have it? Like the Rambam saying that, you know, if Reuven imposes the Shvua on Shimon and Shimon violates it, it sounds like Shimon on some level is the one who violates, not Reuven. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So it's a little bit strange also that you might say one would think, two questions. One is, how can this be? you know, just to put it succinctly. And the second one is, you know, the imkvar uskvar, you know, part of it, which is, and if it is so, so why do you need to say that Reuven is an onus? Right? Now, as if there's some sort of mipiacherim here, you know, why is he, why do we need to say that he's an onus? He didn't do anything. Just say he didn't do anything. And that's not what you mean by onus. I mean, he didn't do anything. He's good, but it's strange, right? The whole halacha attracted a lot of attention. I think I mentioned the tour was very unhappy with it. The tour thought that it depends on you know, whether or not we're dealing with an Isar Gavra or an Isar Chafetza, meaning he was invoking the model of Nadarim. You could do this in Nadarim because you can impose a status of Mudrana, you know, on a Chafetza that you own vis-a-vis Akeirin. And then it's like they're eating or doing a Maisavero or eating Machalos Asuros. That's a big Kiddush in the world of Nadarim that you can do that. And that that requires a lot of discussion too. But that is, you know, an acknowledged characteristic of Nadarim. But the Torah says this isn't Nadarim, it's Shvuos, it's an Isar Gavra. And therefore, you know, what did Shimon do? You know, Reuven made a speech. You know, Reuven took an oath. And Shimon did what? Right? The Chepta is not Osir, because it's not an Isar Chepta, and he didn't take any hafla, he did nothing. That's what Tur doesn't like. But those, you know, who, you know, wrote Perushim on the Rambam didn't have the luxury of just saying we don't like it, right? They had to interpret the Rambam. Right. So what does the Lecha Mishnah say? Devin? So what's he saying?
The reason why Shimon's Gorim Reuven to be over at Shua on him being moved there.
Right. So what's the Lecha Mishnah effectively doing?
Comparing it to being comparison to the Dharma.
Not really. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think on the contrary. What he's really saying is the Rambam never meant it. Meaning, you don't... Does Shimon violate the Iser Bal Yachel? No. He's Machshil Reuven. Who's really in violation here?
Reuven.
And that's why, by the way, that explains why he needs a Ptur Onus, right? Doesn't explain so much why he has a Ptur Onus, I'm not sure about that, because he set up the Shavua in such a way to begin with, but okay. But it explains why he needs a Ptur Onus, right? It also explains why this is, you know, although that can be explained more easily anyway, why this only applies to something where he's imposing on a manner which is his Rishus, his right to impose, his prerogative. Right? So otherwise, what does the guy go on team? Guy makes a shvua that's ain't the dover sof, and there's no tzira. The guy makes a shvua that, I hereby make a shvua that Shimon won't eat basar, or that Shimon won't go visit Levi. But so Shimon is supposed to be careful not to be machshil Reuven on his shvua. Right? That's, you know, both from a moral point of view, meaning Hilchos Deos or you know, Lifnei Iver pointing is ridiculous, it's Eilu Dover So. And also, more than that, it's just, you know, there's no Tziruf, as I say. Like, what does that have to do with me? But if Reuven wants to impose, you know, rules about his own property, you know, that's a sensible thing. It, you know, is both defensible and understandable. He doesn't want some stranger, he doesn't want Shimon coming into his property. That's his right, his prerogative. So also that makes it a kind of mitzurav to Shimon, at least as a mechshol. And then what we can say is, you know, this is reasonable. Technically, it's not a neder, so he can't impose it on Shimon. But Shimon should, you know, from a hilchos deos and from a hilchos shavuos, it's still mechudash, by the way, because you could say, well, it's an Iser Gavra, so it's the same as Dabar Sheinu Bar Shuso, in terms of lack of Sira, for lack of, or in L'Dabar So. No, this is the cunning lie. There's a Chiddush in the Rambam, very big Chiddush in the Rambam, about, you know, people's responsibility to help or to, you know, defend each other in matters that are both reasonable and and they're bailus. There's a Chiddush in the Rambam, an important extension, but it's not relevant to us at the moment. It's relevant to Chushuos, it's relevant to Chosdeos, it's relevant to Chos Lefnei Velesite Mekhsho, right? Fine. Okay.
But, and
then
there,
you,
it's
an
Asa
Chepet.
But how's it possible to impose a
Shmuel
on somebody?
That's a Tursa. You can't do that unless those things are happening. Rambam says you can do it. But that's what we're trying to figure out. Right? So the Radvaz has a different answer. What's Radvaz's answer?
Right? Where the other guys, where Shimon said Amen.
Yeah. That the guy's, it's a case where Shimon said Amen. Okay, then the question flips a little bit. Why? Because then it answers the big question, but what's the Chiddush and why is it limited? Right? Again, why do you need Anus? Why does it have to be a Dabar Shabirshuso? Right? And, you know, if there's a Anias Amen and Kolaone Amen Achar Shua Kamotze Shua Mipiv, so what you have is regular Mipiats, but why does Rambam make this trivial? And moreover, it's superfluous. Didn't the Rambam already say earlier? That, you know, kol ha'one amen achar shua kemotzi shua mipia. So, what's the point? In light of the fact that maybe the Rambam doesn't really mean totally ditto, right? And we'll say better, I think I said this already last time, maybe the Radvaz here is l'shitaso, right? Because the Radvaz, in the beginning of Perek Beis of Hoshua's Halacha Aleph, we definitely talked about this, so, you know, is mistapek, right? Maybe the Rambam doesn't think that Amein is mipiatzma when it comes to Shua's Shav. Right? This is what belonged to the list of Shitos that we had to try to demonstrate that Amein being mipiatzma is a Chiddush. And maybe, you know, it isn't just a Gili Milsa that it's so, maybe it's also an in-between status. Or maybe the Amein, you know, of Shua's Eidos is different than Pikadon or Bitui and so on. Correct? So one of the things we cited was the Radvaz, who says that he's not so sure whether or not you violate Shua's Shav with an Amen. You need a clearer Hafla, for that's why in the hierarchy I keep saying it's Shav, Bitui, you know, Bikadon, you know, Eidos. So if the same Radvaz, you know, comes up with, again, the Docha, you have to explain this Rambam. Rambam means something by it. So he says it can't be Mipiach Aaron, because there's no Mipiach Aaron. It's against the Mishnah. It's against Gemara. It's against Svara, right? So it's got to be Piatzmo. And once it's Mipiatzmo, as I say, you're locked into an opposite problem. What do you need Anus? Why do you need Rishos? Is this his way of saying that, you know, Amen, you know, which maybe doesn't even work in Shav, works in Bitoy, but maybe it works differently depending on the circumstances, right? Maybe it's a kind of gray area. It's an in-between. Okay, that's the Radvaz. What about the Kesem Mishnah? So basically what he's saying is, I know the question from Shavua Safchaptes, where the conclusion of the sugya seems to be crystal clear that there's no such thing as mipiach erim and shuas bitui. That maybe shiny malchus, right, may iser, correct? Again, that's always a fascinating thing when you can split them with our tudinim or a more acute dib. It's hard to know which. We already had it, but with the Ravid's discussion about Shem Hashem, right? There are discussions of this in Nishba Lekayim and Nishba Lebatel. You know, numerous discussions in Shavuos and Nedarim, you know, whether or not you can have, you know, the Iser, you know, without the Chiyuv, or a Korban without a Malkus, or a Malkus without a Korban. Okay. So basically, the Kesem Mishnah is saying that there is a Mipiach Erim in Shavua, right? It's not a full Shavuos Bitui. Again, that would work Well, if there's a kind of hashba'a factor, right, in the piacherim, it's a different chalos. So there's no malchus, because you need a fuller, more independent, more initiative, oriented, or initiated, or self-initiated hafla in bitui, right? But there still is some sort of a chalos shvua and an azara. Okay, and then again, you can also understand that this is something, because there's a mashbia element, not just a nijba, and the nijba isn't full nijba, which is why it doesn't get malchus and so on, so you can understand again why it's only brashua. Certainly understand why it's only brashua, because he's imposing it on him, right? And why he needs anus, because he's also the mashbia. Reb Chaim thought that even further than this, that there is mipi acherim in shuas bitui, when there's tziruf and bailus. And that's what this is. So again, in terms of the hierarchy of things, everything we've been talking about, this fits in very nicely. Shav, bitui, right? Pikadon, edus. Okay, so that brings us to Chafei Amud Beis, the relationship between bitui and shvuas edus. Okay, so let's have somebody read that. Aaron, you want to read it? We just have a couple more minutes, 5 minutes. Let's get it in, and then we'll analyze it according to the different Rishonim tomorrow, and then we'll move on, to the beginning. All right? Yeah, so what does the Gemara tell us about this on Chafei Amud Beis? What's the context?
It's been a while since I've seen the Gemara, so I don't really remember exactly. I don't want to start reading anymore. Maybe it's better.
But you've seen it, right? So if I tell you where to start, you're going to be able to do it?
we'll see.
Okay. And if not, it is a little wild. I mean, I thought we whatever, but... Abrabaya? That's where I would start.
Where
are they? The wide lines? Or you probably the computer. Do you have a computer?
I have a...
You have the Tzur Zadat? The first line of the wide lines. Abrabaya? What's going on in the back? What do you mean, Moda Rav? What's going on in the background? Remember? The whole discussion of Shuas Bitui in general, whether or not, and this is a fascinating thing too about Shuas Bitui. I hope I'll have chances to talk more about Shuas Bitui. Whether Shuas Bitui only applies when you can flip it. Now, the Shuas Bitui isn't defined only by the Hafla, right, but by the contrast, what this haflas establishes in contrast. What do I mean by that? In other words, if you can only formulate something positively but not negatively, or only that's part of the debate, or you can only formulate it in the future, not in the past, or the past not in the future, or negatively not positively, because that is shvus bitui. The shvus bitui have to have the potential. Of being flipped, right? In temporally, or positively and negatively. Okay, that's the question. So the Gemara said that again. Why would that be so? Why should you care? I mean, the man says something. If it's true, it's true. If it's not true, it's not true. Why do you have to have the potential to flip it? Right. That in itself is fascinating. It implies that simply the statement of factual accuracy per se, right, is not sufficient. Either it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, or there's something about also this stand that you're taking, b'sheker, right? Not the quality of that stand, and therefore you have to have the ability, right, to say the opposite. Otherwise, there's no chalos shuas bitui. It's not a consequential or meaningful. Somehow the statement has to be meaningful in terms of your choice or your presentation. And that meaningfulness, number one, that's the assumption, that you need some sort of consequential or meaningful status. A. B, that consequentiality or meaningfulness is, or meaning, probably just meaning, right? You have to be careful, otherwise you'll lose the, trying to get college, English credit this year, physics credit, English credit, whatever. So, is defined by the ability, right, to formulate, you know, the contrast. And that's the assumption of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, go ahead.
Does the Rav say?
What?
Does the Rav say?
Yeah, yeah. So again, the question is, what about, everybody agrees on Hain and Lav, and the question is, what about, you know, future and past, right? So the Gemara says, Omer Abaye, yeah?
Omer Abaye, Ramode Rav, Omer Lechavero, Shvosh, Ani Yodea Lecha Eidos, Vishcha, Dilo Yoda Le, the Padr,
yeah, so what's he saying? We already answered our question. You can do it.
So the person is not tired, he says.
Rav, even though he denies, so you can look at Rashi, read Rashi. Motor Rav, Afagab de Loboy Lahabal Shabar, you don't need to flip, right? In terms of time. That's not a, we'll say it my way for a moment, that's not a shiur in, you know, in meaning or in consequence or consequentiality, right? So that's not, according to Rav, but positive and negative is. Okay? Go ahead.
Yadati, v'lo yadati, v'focus. So make sure that, you know, I
knew. Wait, so he's saying that's Rashi's. Avagavdol boy lahabalavar, right? Lav hein boy. Therefore, ha'omer shvush on yodei lechaedus, right? Hein mishkachas ba, but lav lo mishkachas ba. Why? The leisi be eni yodea, de eni yodea, edus, lav mishim shvus bitu, echibrachman al ischaev chutz lebezdin, el mishim shvus edus ve'en ala bebezdin broi lahoi. Do you think that's, is that such a dumb pashan already? Even just a small line. Umodarav, baba lechaber, shvush on yodei lechaedus, meaning what? It's not what. What's he saying?
For some reason, it's not considered.
You have to be able to flip.
If you flip it and it doesn't fall into the category of bitoy, but falls into the category of eidos, it's not considered a valid flip.
Ah, exactly. So that's a big chiddush. To say that you need a flip as a shiur in meaning, or to be shuas bitoy or choice. Right, or something like that. Same idea, you understand what I'm saying. There's one thing, right? And therefore, if it's meaningless, right, you know, so that's a pagam. You know, that detracts. But it's not true that it's meaningless, right? It's an obligatory commitment. Well, we hold you to it. But it's not within the world view of Shvuas Bitui, it's Shvuas Eidos. So that's Pagam in flipping, right? So again, if it's all just Exeris HaKasu, maybe we don't care, right? But if it's not just a Pagam in Exeris HaKasu, it's what I'm trying to explain that it might be, right? It's a certain way of, you know, defining Chalos Shvuas Bitui. So the only way that this could be excluded or disqualified as a flip would be what? If what?
It's not a Shvuas Bitui.
Yeah, as if Shvuas Eidos isn't just technically something different, but that we really do it as, view it as a very different chalos. Right? As the more different it is, the easier it is to explain this line logically. Okay, so we already have evidence, right, of the mutual exclusivity, let's say, or the different emphasis, or the eclipsing nature, whatever you want to call it, of Bitui and Eidos already, just in this one line. Correct? You wonder, would the same thing be true about Shvuas HaPikadon? I'm just asking. Right? Keep going.
Yodati, Volo Yodati, Nahoga.
Okay. Again, I don't want to get deeply involved. I want to extract the parts that are relevant to us. Okay, yeah.
All right. If let's say you do say this inside of Beis Din, is it that clear from Rashi that you still want to be five in the case of Shvuas Bitui?
I think so. But I think I am glad that you mentioned the Rashi, though, because I just neglected to mention I was going to. There's something to say about the Rashi, although, again, I'm not sure whether you could say other than what the way Rashi says it, but what Rashi bring out? Rashi wants to bring out Shvuas Bitui's singular nature. I'm sorry, Shua Sa'id is a singular nature. It's the fact that it's Bebezdin and Beroi Loi.
Well, not necessarily singular nature. It sounds like you're just like technically not going to have Shua Sa'idus in this case.
Meaning, again, I guess that Lashitas is the answer to your question. Meaning, is Rashi... It doesn't make sense from a flipping point. You asked me the question a second ago. We started this point. You asked me the question. Let's say it's not Bebezdin and it's not Beroi Loi. Will there then be an agreement that this would be a bitui and that it would be okay?
I'm saying actually that, but if you are Bebezdin and you are Roi Lahai, then maybe nonetheless you're still going to be five for Shuras Kitu because it is viewed as King Galah. I mean, it is considered.
Oh, really? I thought Rashi was saying totally the opposite. And then you just wonder why you don't just make the comment of, well, this is all hypothetical, so. Why, you know, why don't we think about Chutz Bezdin and Eroi Lahai? You know what I'm saying? What you're saying would be sensational, but I don't think it's sayable. Am I wrong? I mean, you're saying that... well, I'm not even sure what you're saying. You're saying that when there is a Chiyuv Shua Sa'edus, then this would be a proper flip?
I mean, it's impossible to say that
the line... Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, what do you think Rashi holds? I mean, I guess I hear what you're saying. I mean, you think that Rashi's saying that the mutual exclusivity is only in a case where there's no Chiyuv Shua Sa'edus.
I mean, that's what
That would be remarkable.
That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
Right. I mean, that would be... Like just misvara, I don't think that's nitan leham. And I think it is an interesting... Put this, let's say it this way. Objectively speaking, we're going to stop at 1 minute. Objectively speaking, to say that, you know, the flip is a Shua Sa'edus, and that should be good enough, per se, not this line of the Gemara. I would have no problem with that. I think it's Mechudash to say that, you know, I mean, even if you were to say that Shua Sa'edus doesn't also violate Shua's Bitui in the sense of, oh, it has its Hasara, oh, maybe it should get Malkus, oh, you should bring an extra Korban. But even if you were to say that, it wouldn't be obvious to me that in its flipping requirement, you know, it's also pekah. Right? But clearly the Gemara is saying that that's the case. This line, that that's the case. Now, once you're saying that, to say, you know, that that's only true where you know, where it comes close, but it's potur, you know, but not where you're chayiv, A, I don't think Rashi says that. B, I don't think it's nitan leheomer.
Even according to those who show keep the Gemara in order that we have it, and don't say that this line is already assuming that Abaye is.
I think so. We'll discuss that tomorrow. But
Abaye may have heat, meaning then Abaye will ask on him, maybe going back on this.
Maybe that. But the Pashtos, at least, when you read the Gemara and you read Rashi, it doesn't read that way.
Because Rashi himself sounds like he's five, right? He says, the only two reasons you'd be five in that case, El Mishim Shuras Ha'idus. And then the explanation is, and you wouldn't be five Shuras Ha'idus in this case, El Mishim.
No, so I'm reading it. Right, it is a bulky Rashi, but he's trying to explain a difficult idea. So I think what he's trying to say is, the fact that you're only chayiv Shuras Ha'idus, Bebezin Uberoi Lahayid, right, is an indication that it's different, and that it isn't just, you know, a more specialized case which wouldn't hurt the flipping. And because of that, even that's the chiddush also. A, that's a chiddush already, right? And because of that, even in a situation where lemaisa there would be no shua sa'edus, right, if it wasn't in Bezin, because this is all hypothetical. Flipping is always the hypothetical. So what do you mean? The flipping can only be measured when it's in Bezin? It could be in Bezin, it could be not in Bezin. Or is that a din in the flip, that it has to be in, you know, a multi, you know, purpose flip, you know? So it sounds to me like Rashi saying, number one, what characterizes Shua Sa'edus is Roi L'Hoid and Bebezin. And number two, Ad Kedei Kach, that even when you don't have those, right, it still is a shame Shua Sa'edus, albeit one in which you're not chayiv, and even that ruins the flip. Yeah, that's how I read it. Okay, let's take one more line and then we'll stop. Keep going. So the Rabbanu Kamer Shkush Shani Kadiru, right? Hovleisa B'Klal. Yeah. Dati v'loi dati machlokes. Hayidosi v'loi dosi machlokes. Okay. All right. Bishlam of Shmuel.
Bishlam of Shmuel. The Amar Milta Delese Delahaba Lo Matayev Alei Lishavar. The Huffy After Akamana Lishuas Edus Mitzlau was Beitli. El Rav V'mai Hufazel After Akamana.
Okay, I guess we'll have to stop. But this is, of course, the key line. Here's where the Gemara does. Till now, the Gemara is saying implicitly that there's a certain mutual exclusivity that even interferes with the flipping requirement. Now the Gemara is saying, now the Gemara is challenging head on, right? What do we need? Shuas Eidos, shouldn't every Shuas Eidos be Shuas Bitui? So is the Gemara's question that it should also be Shuas Bitui? Or is the Gemara's question that it should only be Shuas Bitui?
What's the point of
What's the answer going to be? Yeah, what's that?
What's the point of having such an institution as Shuas Eidos if you should really be, if Shuas Bitui should really cover all your bases?
Right. So is that a factual question? Or is that a is that also a conceptual question? Meaning, is that like, well, every time you're going to violate Shuas Bitui, so you're covered. So what do we need this thing for? Or is it even more than that, saying, Shuas Eidos, Shuas Bitui, they're pretty much the same. If they were two different Mechaivim, we wouldn't ask this question. Because the fact that they also overlap might be irrelevant, right? But if they seem to be about the same Mechaiv, namely Shuas Sheker, so, and when you do one, you do the other, then the question is much stronger. Like, what do we need them both? Right? So this is what we want to figure out, and then we really want to figure out what the answer is. Is the answer Zegzeres HaKasuv? Is the answer no, there, if there's an eclipsing going on here, right? And what about cases where you don't have the infrastructure either, as opposed to simply a patur? Right? So that's what we want to pick up with this very quickly, hopefully tomorrow, the different shitas in the Rishonim, and then we'll backtrack and go pretty much more conventional.